Hello and welcome to the Feverbee podcast. My name is Katie Kobe and I'm head of training here at Feverbee Limited. I train community managers in the art of community building using proven social science techniques. In the Feverbee podcast, I'll share tools and techniques that you can use in your daily community management efforts. Listen weekly to get new tips, industry news, and hear stories from guest practitioners to help you become the best community manager in the business. Make sure you subscribe for free updates and review our show notes to get all of the resources mentioned in the podcast today. Show notes are published weekly at communitygeek.com/podcast. Today, I am thrilled to introduce Blake Morgan to all of you. Blake is a strategist who focuses on social media, customer support, and community. She's currently the social media program manager for digital support at Intel, the VP of marketing for the Bay Area chapter of the Society of Consumer Affairs Professionals, also known as SOCAP, and is also a columnist for Forbes. Blake believes that engaging, over-the-moon, good content is really hard to come by and has spent her career in pursuit of powerful content while still focusing on customer strategy, influencer engagement, communities, and social media. She feels that social has provided all of us with an unprecedented opportunity to engage. It's not about how fast we can publish, but about what is really smart content, really smart engagement strategies, and really standout experiences. Prior to her role at Intel, she has worked with Verizon Wireless, Newmark Knight, Frank Retail, and a variety of other small businesses. So welcome, Blake. I am so thrilled to have you with us here today.
Thank you, Katie, for that awesome, warm intro. I really appreciate all of your nice comments. I'm really happy to be here. I'll first say that. I'm a big fan of Feverbee and all of your podcasts.
When Blake and I were discussing our chat for today, we thought that we would focus on content, given that Blake has such a really strong background and great experience here. Content's a really hot topic these days. Everyone's talking about it. Everyone's doing it. There's podcasts about it. There's always blog posts. There's always templates. But I still feel like that despite all these resources, there are very few organizations out there that are doing it very well. So what are the most critical details to understand when you're developing a content strategy for your online community?
I think that to kick off, we should just talk kind of high level about what community means. I really believe that a thoughtful content strategy can mean the difference between a thriving community of really engaged members versus crickets. I think that communities bring a wealth of benefits to our companies. Sales, marketing, customer service, product development, and customer intelligence all benefit from having a community of customers. And a content strategy can really vary depending on who owns the community. Mm-hmm. But no matter who owns the community within the company, the goal of providing value shouldn't vary at all. So I think that's really important to establish.
That's a great, great soundbite, by the way.
Thank you, Katie. I learned from the best. I've gotten so many great tips from you because you have established so many strong trainings, and obviously all of your great work at Get Satisfaction was really inspiring to me. And this is something that I believe that you really get.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, providing value across the board, like if you're not aiming towards value, then you shouldn't be publishing. I read a quote. Actually, I'll bring this up and then I'll let you get back to your point. Sorry. I want to say it came from Michael Porter, I believe is the name. And the quote was, "The key to strategy is about what you're not going to do." And I just feel like with content and how so many people can get forced into like publish, adopting that mindset of always adding value or deciding like what you're not going to do is absolutely crucial.
I agree. Important to learn how to say no and the whole idea that less is more.
Yes.
I think with the just overwhelming amounts of content today, it's really easy to get caught up in that. But I really think it's important to really stop and think about high-level goals and the actual strong messages you're trying to convey to your community. And just get really clear about what you're trying to do and what your goals are so you're not just inundating your users with content overwhelm.
Yes, there's just so much out there. There's already so much out there. So like in terms of developing this particular content strategy, I mean, the core details really are focusing on providing value and then, you know, making sure that that value aligns with your overall organizational goals. Is there anything else in particular, any other like critical details to really, you know, be aware of, especially maybe if someone is like new and haven't produced a type of strategy like this before?
You know, the community can be owned by different departments. So I think it's important, again, to step back and think about what the goals are. Do you have a more transactional community currently of one-off interactions, or are you aiming for a more meaningful community where your customers are coming back to the community over and over and over? Mm-hmm. Like, for example, I work at Intel, and while we have one of the largest customer Jive communities in the world, we're very aware that a lot of our customers just come to our communities one time to get their issue solved. And I'm pretty sure no one in the world out of our millions of users has our communities as their homepage, unfortunately. But we're trying to change that with some different tools, including recognition and loyalty programs. So, of course, at Intel, we have a lot of different communities. I manage the support community. So that's a place where people come to get their problems solved and convene around a topic. And I think that's important for the community manager, if they haven't started yet, to think about the purpose of the community, what kind of story are they trying to tell, and also understanding who their audience is and why they're there in the community and what keeps those customers up at night, what do they need help with. And I'm a really big fan of Jay Behrs, who wrote the book Utility, mm-hmm. which talks about how providing basically useful content is the best form of marketing in the world. And I believe that the community is an amazing place to do that, to just provide useful content. And that's a really great way to earn more growth in your community by just being really helpful.
I want to touch on something you had just said. So you were talking about think about purpose, think about storytelling, thinking about your audience. And the reference to Jay is awesome. I'll make sure to include the link to the book in the show notes for everyone who's listening. But really quickly touching back on that concept of storytelling, I feel like storytelling is a concept that we're all deeply familiar with, right? We've grown up listening to stories. We see them in the movies. We read them. And it's really something that has, I think, started to catch on and take shape in the business world. And with the onslaught of everything that's happening on the web, all of the different directions we're being pulled in and all the different content that's being shared, those of us who work within this world of content and community, we're constantly being drawn towards telling stories about things, whether it's our customers or community members or writing showcases and that sort of thing. So I'm curious to know about storytelling specifically, if you've got any thoughts on the idea around telling a good story. Like, what does it take for a community manager to really tell a good story, especially if maybe they don't have that strong of a background in marketing or even just like deeper content expertise? But I guess really your perspective on what it is that makes a really good story.
I'll preface this by saying that storytelling is a powerful way to make a point. And I think community managers are uniquely positioned to be excellent storytellers because of the visibility they have with customers and actually throughout the organization. And they have no shortage of content ideas to draw from, considering their role and basically their proximity to the customer and those issues that are important to the customer. And I really believe that topics are important, that style and delivery are equally important, and sometimes those can get lost. Mm-hmm. I think that good storytelling doesn't always have to be lengthy, and some of the best storytelling is really succinct. I mean, if you think about Seth Godin, if you read his blog, his mm-hmm. blogs are really brief. I mean, some of his blogs must be around like 100 words. They almost read like poems, but it's not the length, it's what he's actually saying. Mm-hmm. And I think that whatever it is you're trying to convey, you just have to be really smart about delivery, and I'm a fan of kind of keeping it simple. And if you're in a support scenario like I am, I work in customer support, you might not think that in customer support we have inspiring, meaningful content, but I think that today you're seeing some of the best companies do things like tell stories with stick figures and drawings and animation. And support is getting really creative with that. And actually, studies show that humans learn the best through storytelling and visual imagery, and customers love when companies can really trim the complication when it comes to, you know, manuals and how-tos. And I think that storytelling can be a great way to provide better self-help for customers.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think that community managers can leverage their knowledge of super users and advocates in the community to tell their stories and also get those advocates involved in the storytelling of the company, of the product, and all of that.
Those are some really good points, especially I really want to hammer home on that point around style and delivery are just as equally important as length. I do read Seth Godin's blog and would totally agree that a lot of his posts do come off sounding like poems, and it just, there's a way that he just seems to like thread the words so beautifully. That's a hugely important piece, that it doesn't have to be long to be effective. And especially when you're developing content for a customer or like community audience, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to write a novel to make it good. So those are really some great points and great ideas. Thank you so much for bringing a lot of those up. I'm like frantically taking notes over here because I like to make sure that I get really good clips and sound bites for the show notes page. My next question for you, it kind of plays off of what we were first talking about, and this is the idea of curating content as a strategy for building community itself. You know, we talked about that information overload. There's already so much stuff happening on the internet. So does bringing like a new twist on existing work really help to connect people together into your community? What are your thoughts on kind of like curation and using like curation tools in general?
Yeah, curation tools are important. I use Feedly. I also frantically make lists on Twitter where I have all of my different topics organized. My friends in real life, people who focus on customer experience and social. I have lists of Twitter accounts with like baby animals, like ridiculous stuff. But it's all organized, so it's very easy for me every morning. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm in the NPR, I go to Feedly, I look at my Twitter list, and it's a really great and clean way for me to see what's going on in the world. Mm-hmm. I think that from a curation perspective for community managers, again, it's always about the audience and what they're interested in, what's going on that week, what's in the news. I can't kind of emphasize this idea that less is more enough. It's so important that less is more. You know, people just don't have the time to read anymore, and they rarely read more than like the first paragraph of a blog, mm-hmm. or they're skim reading. So, I mean, I don't do a lot of kind of content curation on the Intel support communities.
Mm-hmm.
However, I do it a lot in my personal, like for my personal, I don't know what you call it, social content curation. And mm-hmm. it's just about using the tools and taking the time to organize your different interests and finding the best content creators around those interests. And you know this, Katie, but I think the worst thing a company could do or a person could do is just talk about themselves or their brand like all day, every day.
Yes.
We did this, did that, here's a press release. It's just so boring. So really make sure to engage the right people, but also just focus on the value of the content. Is it interesting? Is it engaging? Would you personally want to read it and not just, you know, you see a lot of these vendors in the customer space retweet influencers and favorite influencer stuff, and that's cool, but, you know, if you're obviously just kind of pissing up to all these influencers, it makes you look kind of silly, and it's not a way for you to build your voice because you're just kind of being like a Me Too type of person.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even if you're a brand or a corporation, you have to have a voice and a persona, and the content curation plays into that as well.
Those are all such great points, especially like the worst thing you can do is talk about yourself. Like, yes, yes, yes. Thank you for saying that out loud. what I also think is really important about curation in communities especially is that it helps you to build and grow your own influence in a way. Like you do it in a way, obviously, so that you're not sucking up for one, but it's so important for community managers to have influence over their own communities, right? And to be able to have people in the community like taking them seriously and respecting them and respecting their thought process. And so even if you're not like curating content that you're using to put in your community itself, but even if you're just curating content on a personal level and maybe you've got like a bunch of community members who follow you online, that's just, I think, another really good way that you can go about building your own personal influence. I mean, it's something that we talk about a lot in like our community management training programs. So I think, yeah, really, really good points on bringing all of that up with curation. And your Twitter list, I could just imagine with all your Twitter lists. I have the same Twitter list of baby animals, by the way.
Nice.
Yeah. You know.
Important to relax once in a while and laugh. I have also a list of comedians.
Perfect. Oh, that would be hilarious. If you just have like an entire list of just people telling jokes the whole way down. I don't know. I would never get work done.
Yeah, it's called You're Very Funny, and I need it when I'm, like, annoyed about something. I just go look at it and laugh. My favorite is OV Chris Rock.
Oh, really?
Which is, yeah, he it's not Chris Rock, but he must be an Australian comedian. I don't even know who he is. He is so funny.
Oh, my gosh.
I share an office with my husband, and my husband hears me laughing. He knows exactly what I'm doing. I'm looking for it. Anyway.
That's fantastic.
I digress.
I'm gonna have to check that guy out, too. I'm going to keep on the same thread around curating. So I have a couple more ideas that I want to run past you today. But along the line of curating, I kind of want to think about, like, the concept of reimagining content versus, like, simply recycling content. We've all heard the best practices out there that you need to have a content calendar. Whenever you make a piece of content, you need to think of like 5 other ways you can promote it or do something with it. But then I recently came across an article that was talking about, I think it was an Anne Handley article, not surprisingly, because she's brilliant. And she was talking about the concept of reimagining your content versus just simply like recycling it and like, you know, regurgitating the exact same work. So I'm curious to hear, like, what are your thoughts there? Do you have any like tips or strategies related to that?
So creating new content is really important, but it's kind of exhausting to always be turning out new content. And I think that community managers can definitely leverage some of their evergreen content they're creating that works well no matter the season, you know, content that's always kind of a crowd pleaser. And I think they can always go back to that inventory of older content to get new ideas and get inspired, and also take pieces of that content that they might feel a little outdated and marry that into some newer ideas. Mm-hmm. And you can also obviously always repackage content into infographs, slideshare, presentations, videos, photos, and then cross-pollinate them.
Yeah,
and that doesn't mean automatically publishing anything across social networks, because we've seen that fail miserably.
Right.
But it does mean just being really creative about reimagining evergreen content and, again, repackaging that into more kind of timely ideas.
Yeah, I like that. It doesn't mean necessarily just republishing everything all at once. And one of the things that I'm also starting to work on with, I guess, my own personal content strategy is mixing up the different types of content that we're using. Like, I personally, I don't blog a lot. I'm not big on blogging. I like to write, but I find that it sometimes can take me a while to write up a really good blog post. And so I'm the person where I would rather, like, host a podcast, for instance, or, you know, sit in front of my phone and do, like, a quick little, like, clip that I end up putting on YouTube and that sort of thing. So definitely – and this is, I think, the big point that the post that I found that from Anne that she made was that, like, you start really with the topic and then you break it down into all these different things that you can do with the topic, as opposed to starting with the piece of content itself and then being like, okay, how can I, like, republish it and rework it here, here, and here, if that makes sense.
It does make sense, definitely. I love her content. For her blog titles, they're very funny.
Oh, they're fantastic. I know. Awesome. I'm like, no wonder everyone always reads your blog. You've got great titles.
Yeah.
So let's talk about audience for a little bit then. I mean, everyone always talks about, like, you need to understand your audience. You need to understand your community members. So what are your tips for really, like, better understanding your audience and, like, getting to know them better? And especially when you talk about, like, the type of content that you either need to produce or find for them. How do you go about doing that?
So some of these tools can be really helpful in digging deeper into the kind of community, well, into the different personas of your community members,
mm-hmm.
And also digging deeper into trends in the community and what's top of mind. Like, for example, at Intel, we use Resonata, which I believe is purchased by Jive. And using Resonata, you can see certain trends or themes or the most popular threads or authors. Mm-hmm. For that time, and that way you can dig up some of the more pressing issues.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really important to understand what your audience is passionate about, and I'm kind of treading into marketing territory now, but I think a really great example of actually building a community around the customer's passions is Red Bull, and they built a Red Bull Cliff Diving World Series group, where they actually have events, stories, videos on this Red Bull Cliff Diving website, and it's a really popular place for their customers who are total adrenaline junkies, and they've got like 200,000 Facebook fans and 10,000 Instagram followers, and it's a really nice way to kind of engage your audience in a way that Red Bull isn't asking for anything. They're completely just giving back and providing value, which is essentially this online and offline event around the passion of diving. Another example that I really love is Oreo Cookie.
Mm-hmm.
This is more of a social media campaign, but for Oreo Cookie's 100th birthday, they created a campaign called Oreo Daily Twist.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically wanted 100 pieces of content created in 100 days. So every day at 6 p.m., their community managers would dig for the latest content creations from their community, which were essentially different plays on the Oreo cookie. And they would post the winners every day in this online hub. And they had a huge PR campaign around it, and it got them press in basically huge talk shows like Real Time with Bill Maher and Jimmy Kimmel and the Colbert Report, and mm-hmm. it actually generated like 230 million impressions and
wow.
430 million views on Facebook. So that's a really fun example of how you can kind of engage your audience and the crowd.
Yeah.
You know, and recognize your audience and allow them to be creative with the content and have fun with it. And then obviously the brand gets all of that great free PR and marketing.
Yeah, absolutely.
One more quick tip. You know, it's really important for community managers to actually get on the phone with their super users.
Mm.
And actually at Intel had one of our top super users call me one day in my office and just talk to me about what he's interested in. What would he be interested in as far as like a loyalty and a rewards program? And I got so much from that call, much more than I ever would have got by doling out some kind of survey. And I think that even though it's a little more painful to like get on the phone and talk to maybe 10 or 20 of your most loyal users, or I won't call them users because we don't like that term, community members, you'll get a lot of value and good insight out of that.
I'm so glad you brought that up. There's just so much – you only have good things to gain by getting on the phone with someone, right? Like if they're mad at you, oftentimes by getting on the phone with someone, you can sort it out in a much more effective manner than if you were just to go through like email or some other channel. You can get all sorts of great insight because conversations, they never follow like one fluid pathway. They kind of go all over the place. So there's always little things that you can pick up and like little ideas that you can get that you might not have ever picked up before. So thank you for bringing that piece up, because I think that's a huge part of community management, community building that I think is really underrated. And I'm not sure exactly how many community professionals out there really do take the time to jump on the phone with people on a regular basis. That's a good one. Well, then what does content look like for the world of customer support? Because I mean, I have a big background in customer support. You have a big background in customer support. And I do think that developing content from the support context and managing support content that's maybe more focused on like driving self-support or peer-to-peer support resolution it's different, right? Sometimes you don't get to be as fun. Sometimes you do, though. I think that's a huge misconception. But just curious to get your thoughts around support-related content as well.
I think that it's really important in support for the content to be organized in a way that's easy for the users to navigate. And I think Apple has done like a really beautiful job of doing that in their communities.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to the Apple communities, they're really clean and easy to navigate. And in the community at the top of each article, which obviously articles are a huge source of traffic for any company,
mm-hmm.
Their customers are looking for self-help. At the end of each article, at the beginning of each article, Apple tells you what you're going to learn after reading that article, which mm-hmm. is nice. And at the end of the article, you can easily start a community thread about that article. And for people who aren't in support, that might sound kind of strange, but it's about providing this seamless experience, no matter if you're in the knowledge base of the company or you're in the community, or you need to contact Apple, which you can do also on the same page at the bottom, contact us. So it's just about providing that customer journey, making it really easy for the customer. And again, just back to the idea around content curation that less is more, I think smaller amounts of purposeful content is definitely preferred to mass amounts of uncategorized content.
I also think that with support-oriented communities, when you're looking at especially a lot of user-generated content, I personally think it's really okay to get aggressive with whatever your like archiving process is. Like, not all user generated content, especially in a support context, is going to be beneficial. And so, you know, with the concept of like less being more, smaller amounts of more purposeful content, really make sure that if you've got, you know, questions that are in your community that have already been resolved and they're not really helping anyone, like archive them, move that away to a place where it's, you know, not taking up a lot of space on like the homepage in the community or clogging up some search results. You know, make sure that when you've got customers who are coming to your community, especially if they need help, that it is easy for them to find what they're looking for, because you've done a really great job of almost like, you know, like gardening. You've done a really great job of like weeding through all of this content in your community to make sure that only like the best of the best, that the most helpful and the most purposeful stuff is going to be there for people.
Yeah, that's a great point, because there's just so much content being created every day. Yeah. That archiving is really key.
Archiving or moving. I mean, every platform I think calls it different, something different, but I like to think of it, and it doesn't mean that you're like, that the user didn't ask, that the community member didn't ask a good question. It doesn't mean that at all. It just means that the question's been resolved, and if that question isn't going to be able to help, you know, 5 or 10 more other people, then it doesn't necessarily need to be there, just hanging out on the broader internet, so to speak.
Makes sense, definitely. Probably depends on the company, too, and how the And at Intel, a lot of our customers find our threads through Google.
Mm-hmm.
You just have, like, probably millions of threads, just, you know, I believe we've archived them, and they're just sitting there. But I think that archiving is more important in the community where people are frequenting more and more, maybe in a smaller community where customers are hanging out there. They're not getting there through Google, and they're maybe not looking for support. Probably just really depends on the scenario.
Yep, it's very true. I think really the moral of the story is to like put yourself in your customer's shoes, right? And put yourself in your community's shoes and think that like if I'm coming into this space, what am I looking for? Is what I'm searching for, are the results that I'm getting relevant, or are they just, you know, cluttering up the experience and cluttering up the journey? Sort of the way
that's so beautiful to say it.
I like to look at it. I'm feeling very poetic today. So that's my little poetry for everyone today. But I also think with support communities too, like though a lot of support communities out there are pretty transactional, like you were saying earlier, I had a conversation with Joe Cothrell last year. He's the chief community officer at Lithium. And we were talking about support communities. And I thought he said a statement that really kind of I just found to be very like inspiring. And his conversation was like that even in support communities, like we all have this opportunity to drive even more and more engagement, even if it's, we're just managing a place where people are coming to get help. So I do think there's a lot more of like the fun things. Like I've managed support communities in the past where we've been able to publish little pieces that say like, hey, we fixed, you know, 10 bugs for you this quarter, or, you know, whatever, something like that, that really, helps to build a little bit more of a community feel, even if it is more of a transactional atmosphere.
Yeah, definitely. And it makes you seem like you really care about the customer when you're showing them what you accomplished for them, that you're advocating for them.
Yes.
I think that's a really nice vibe you're putting into the community.
Yeah, absolutely. You put the good vibes back out and the good vibes come back to you.
Maybe just in the Bay Area, Katie, we can say that.
Yeah,
maybe in Boston, in New York, they're going to be like, what?
Are you talking about? No, totally. Well, actually, speaking of that, we're getting very close to the top of the hour. So is there any last minute tips or ideas or, you know, poetry that you want to share with everyone today?
I don't have any poetry. I'm not going to torture you all with my poetry. But I will say that I think being a community manager, you really are kind of your own boss. And it's really important that you network in your organization and outside of your organization. And when you network, you can advocate better on behalf of the customer. Mm-hmm. And you also can bring key insights into the different business units and groups within your company who will benefit from knowing what's really happening, like, on the ground with the customer. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a really amazing opportunity. And, you know, even if you're asked to actually be doing customer support as a community manager, it's an incredible experience that I would encourage people to not shy away from. Because while it's hard and it can be technical, it's really worth it in terms of the knowledge you'll get and the exposure you'll get across the organization and with your customers as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think we are in a great position in this day and age of community management. We're very lucky to be here at this point.
Absolutely. I think that's a really great note to wrap up on too. Thank you so much. Well, Blake, thank you again so much for joining us today and for sharing all of your knowledge and thoughts on content. I have seriously a couple pages here of notes, and I'm going to make sure that I include links to the different resources that we mentioned today in the show notes. So for everyone out there, if you guys like this episode, make sure you visit communitygeek.com/podcast to review all the show notes and the reference links. Also, feel free to go on iTunes and leave us a review. We'd love to hear your thoughts and feedback on the show. But thank you all so much for listening. We look forward to chatting with you next week. Take care.